WJMS Radio, Radio Reimagined.
There's something to be said about the music we grew up with. Though you can try, you can really never escape its influences, especially when you come from such a musical place as New Jersey, like singer-songwriter Dan Amato. Backed by his stage season band, the group delivers a captivating Jersey pop sound and high-energy performance that'll make even your local dive bar feel like Madison Square Garden. I sat down with him to talk about everything, from his musical influences to how he gets the crowd up and moving.
I am Dan Amato. I am a singer-songwriter from Paramus, New Jersey. Very happy to be here.
All right. So how did music come into your life and like what did you grow up listening to?
I was very lucky to have music going on very often, all the time in my house and wherever I was at. I like to say that my mom is directly responsible for my pop sensibilities because I spent a lot of time with her waiting in nail salons. So I heard a lot of like Mary J. Blige and Alicia Keys and all stuff like that. And my dad is like directly responsible for rock, Bruce, Bon Jovi, all that.
It's not a bad marriage. And how would you define like your type of sound right now?
Right now, I was trying to think of the best way to really name it. And I said somewhere within a crazy, crazy mix of like pop rock, country, R&B, and like singer-songwriter.
So how did you know that you first wanted to start like making music and like getting into like the local music scene?
Well, it's funny you ask that because, you know, I didn't really know until I found out by accident. Like, I got into music because I was one of those kids where in my town, it was like, if you didn't play sports, you didn't know anybody, you didn't hang out with anybody. It was just kind of like, you either did sports, or you didn't. That was what happened, right? So I tried every sport. I didn't vibe with any sport. And it wasn't until I was sitting down with my parents just trying to find out, like, what can I just try to do that can make me find myself, I guess. And it was a total fluke. And I think my dad was like, do you want to try learning guitar? Like, just like it was such a throwaway, like, you try it. And I did. I started taking lessons and I absolutely hated it at first because I was like, man, this takes a lot of work. And it wasn't until like a year in where I started making friends because of it. And I started like actually being able to like be myself and socialize. It was like, oh, music's not that bad. This is actually kind of cool. And from there, it was just like a total accident to today. Like I somehow just ended up loving music and doing that. That was my way in, I guess you could say.
How did you start making your own music and decide you want to become a full-time artist?
I always loved just playing covers and just jamming with my friends. But the way I really started making music was the first time I got my heart broken in high school when I was like 15, right? First song I ever wrote, terrible, absolutely terrible. But it was just that was just what I felt like I needed to do and say to get all my feelings out. So that was how it started. It wasn't until I played like my first show for real, like in front of actual people in Hoboken in 2013 at the Italian Festival. It was that feeling of just like, oh, wow, like I can actually do this and have a good time doing it with friends. This isn't bad at all.
Who's your audience and like for what purpose do you make music?
I still am working on trying to get myself out there, I'd say. Like my main audience now, even after doing it for good 4 or 5 years, it's still like when I play shows around here, friends, family, like if I put out new music, it's friends from school or people that maybe have seen me that I didn't know. It's still pretty niche, I'd say, who I make music for. Truthfully, this is going to sound selfish and it might sound kind of dumb, but really myself, because, you know, I don't feel I'm that great of a writer yet, even after all this time. Like, I like to think that I write music and I make music that I want to hear in my car. I'm not out there trying to make this big impact because I feel like I still, a lot of the time, am trying to understand a lot of what is going on in the world. So for me to really weigh in and make a big statement, I'm still trying to get there. Right now, I'm still writing the love songs about relationships and stuff like that, but all stuff that I want to hear in my car and stuff that I can just jam out to.
That's really important to like make music for you, because like if you don't love it, then how's your audience gonna love it?
Exactly. And I say too, like I hear a lot of people say like, oh, I don't like to hear my own music in the car. I don't like to listen to my own music. I don't get it. Like I would love to hear my own stuff. It you know, makes me happy. Oh, I wrote this.
And for those who don't know, who may be listening or hearing you for the first time, how would you describe your music placement right now? Like, are you a solo artist?
I would say I'm an interesting scenario, but also not quite, in that the name is Solo. It's just Dan Amato, but I have this solid band that whoever shows up at the time, whether it be like we have a show with Dan Amato and friends, we have Dan Amato and the Dan Amato band. It used to be the Sentimental Gentlemen, but reason why we changed it, you know, I've had two incredible women playing with me for a couple. Well, Nicole has been playing with me for years and Cassidy just joined the group last year. So it didn't feel right to keep Sentimental Gentlemen, where we're in a society now where, you know, you can identify as whatever you want. That's fine. But we have two very, very strong, very talented women in the band where it's not right to keep it as, you know, gentlemen. If you want to identify as gentlemen, cool. But it's not entirely representative of what we are anymore. You know what I mean? It's easier to keep it as Dan Amato. And I always introduce everybody that's there that night. And it's pretty much been the same people in the group. It's been Nicole Goval. It's been Cassidy Crosby and Joanne Wright.
You're a character. So like, I feel like you need character-esque people around you.
100%. That's probably the most important part to just playing. You have to love and enjoy who you're with every night that you're going to play for 3-4 hours at a time. If you don't like them, it's the worst.
What are some challenges that you've had to overcome, or your biggest challenge getting into the local music industry?
As I had mentioned, like I said, you know, I still struggle with writing. And I'd say getting over that first hoop of like writing an actual good song that I was proud of. Like the first song that I was like, oh, like I could actually play this and have people sing along maybe, right? That was my first hurdle where I was like, okay, I got to get somewhere where I can really have someone other than me appreciate this, right? That for me was Hometown Girl on the Blue Hawk release. That was like the first, like I had one song before that where it was like, oh, this is okay. I had written that and it was like, eh, it's all right. But Hometown Girl was the first one where it was like, oh, this is a good song. I like this. I could play this and people would enjoy this. That was like my first real challenge and like hurdle to like actually make myself, I don't know if stand out is the word, but make myself, I guess, able to play with everybody else.
Do you feel like being at Monmouth has helped you?
100%. I still say to everybody that asks me, my best education that I got from Monmouth was being able to branch out. The best part about it to me, like we learned a lot, but the networking and who we met and what we got to do with what we were presented with Blue Hawk and the shows and the radio and everything. I my best education that I got from that was learning the ins and outs of working with people and working on how to craft stuff that we could do on the radio, we could do at shows. You know what I mean? That was the best to me. I still say to this day, it was the best place I could have been for that time in my life.
Okay, I know this is going to be a really, really hard question for you, but I want you to answer it as best as you can. Give me like a top 5 of your biggest musical influences.
My foundation, I'll give you the first two. I have them literally in frames. You can't see it, but they're to my, this is where I sit when I like write and record music now. This is like my little makeshift studio. So I have Bon Jovi to my left, Bruce to my right. They're like the two foundations. The Jersey guys, that's what started me off. So that's two. I'd say these days, I've been loving what Paramore and like Hayley Williams. So I'll count Paramore and Hayley Williams as one thing, if that's cool. I love what she's been doing. I love what they've been doing. Just her solo stuff, Petals for Armor, is amazing. And I love just like the first like few EPs she put out were like kind of out there. And then as soon as the fourth like last piece came out, it was like, oh, okay, this all makes sense. So it was like she, along with like what Billie Eilish is doing, I really like all that. And I'd say, I don't know if you know him, Theo Katzman. He's pretty new. I mean, he's been around for a while, but what he's been doing in the past few years, couple records, if you listen to Heartbreak Hits and Modern Johnny Sings, it's amazing. So I'd say, let's take it from the top just so I don't lose track. Bruce, Bon Jovi, Hayley Williams, Theo Katzman, and I've always loved John Mayer. So I'm going to keep John Mayer at the end.
So are there any valuable lessons you feel like you've picked up specifically from being somewhere like Monmouth or like Asbury Park or like even Paramus? Do you feel like you've picked up anything from the local music scene?
Biggest thing I've learned is that when you first start, you're going to be asked, oh, can you play just to get exposure? Can you play just so you can get your name out there? It can be cool to an extent. Like when you're first starting and you can use any kind of practice, then it's valuable. But I'd say the most valuable lesson I've learned through everything, whether it be Paramus, Monmouth, Asbury, wherever I've been, you cannot put exposure in the bank. You can get exposure and some cash to put in the bank or checks to put in the bank if you want on the books. You can do both. It's definitely possible. If that opportunity that you or whoever is wondering, like, oh, well, you know, it's exposure and I could really use it, you know, that's all well and good. But always, always push for getting paid for your work and getting some monetary value for your work, because it is worth something. So I have learned that.
Do you feel like there's a hard balance between balancing your music, your job, or like your social life? Do you feel like it's hard?
I think I've been extremely lucky where with Monmouth, and I feel like I've heard a lot of people in the same situation, I've been trying to break into like doing the real industry, like higher up stuff, and I haven't had a lot of luck, but I've been lucky to be doing just playing the cover gigs and like throwing some originals in there while I'm doing cover gigs and making some decent money with it. It's been good. So I've been really lucky where, like I said, you know, I play the music, like my originals for my friends and family, where if they show up at shows on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where they know, like, you know, if I'm asked to play on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to take it. That's just, that is my fun. That is my routine. That's my normal life where, like I said, I'm lucky where it all is kind of meshed into one. Like everybody, if you know me, that's where I'm at. And if you want to hang out with me that on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's where I'm at. And everybody, I like to think, has a good time when we do that. So I don't find it that difficult, but I will have to get back to you on that, hopefully once I get into a higher up position.
Run me through a typical day in the studio or creating music. What's specifically happening? Who are you writing with? What studio? Anything.
Great questions. I was going to say, I got to shout out my favorite place. If you follow me on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, you see basically my second home is Retro Media Sound Studios in Red Bank, New Jersey. Adam Vaccarelli is the main engineer and he is the studio owner. He's the best. I am a firm believer. Like I said before, you got to love who you're working with. And I really do think that it really, really helps to be on the same page as who you're working with. So with Adam, it is absolutely effortless. Same thing with Nicole, Joe, and Cass. If you're hanging out with your friends making music, it's not work at all. It's not even a job. It's more fun than it is stressful to worry about what's happening. You know, like where if you make a mistake, it's like, ah, we'll just do it again. Where are we going? It's fine. It's really not a big deal. And it's stuff that you walk away with having memories for. So anyway, here's what happens. We go in probably around like 1 o'clock, right after lunchtime, where we're all settled. Voices are ready to go. We're not tired. We're awake. We're ready. And we start by live tracking. And to just to make sure like everybody that may be hearing this knows what that is. Live tracking is when you record multiple parts at once. Industry standard is you record part by part. So like you'll do guitar, then bass, then drums, then like all separate. So it takes a lot longer where like you're worrying about each little everything to just get that out of the way. And then you have to go back and do that again when mixing, right? I like to live track just because when you're playing with people at the same time, there's just this rhythm and feeling and sound that you just can't replicate when you're doing it on your own. Like you have to like almost like pretend you're with somebody, which, you know, some people do that and they do it better and to each their own. That's great. But with me, I love to get just that natural feeling of playing with another human person. So I like to do that just to start. Now, in a normal day in the studio is like 8 to 10 hours. So we've only hit 2 hours by now. We have the rest of the, let's just say, 6 or 8 to just go to town. So that's when I kind of like, I say to them, all right, you guys can do whatever you want. You're free to go. You can either go about your day or you can sit and just hang out. And if you want to throw some of your parts, like where you can say, oh, maybe do this or suggest them things. You can say whatever you want and just hang out. And that's when I go do my vocal. I'll add all like the parts on top, whether it be, like I said, maybe a piano part, maybe a Wurlitzer part, a Glockenspiel, a tambourine, you name it. I've probably said, let's put that on there too. Because whatever's in my head, I'll say, okay, we got to do this. We got to do this. We got to do this. Most times for the better, sometimes for the worse. But yeah, so that's that. So that'll usually take like another 4 hours because I'll just sit. And I'll do a part and I'll go in and listen and I'll make sure I'm on track. And I just kind of like take over from there. And I'm like in a zone and I just kind of do that for the rest of the day. And that'll usually be the whole day. And to wrap things up, if we have time, because usually mixing and mastering is another day, but if we have time, me and Adam will just sit and just like try to mix a little bit. And we're usually dead tired. We usually take like a good combined hour to just sit and decompress like through the whole day. We'll take like 20 minute breaks. We'll be like, all right, let's just sit and not listen to the song for a minute. Because it takes a lot out of you. Like, it's kind of like driving for a long time. Like, you know, when you stare at the road for a really long time, you're like, wow, I did nothing, but I'm so tired. It's like the same feeling. So it takes a lot out of you. And by the end of the day, like, you forget, like, what am I listening for again? So it sounds like super dreadful, but it is one of the most fun and amazing things to witness all through the day, because you're watching something that you made come to life that started as gibberish in a voice memo or like a note on your phone.
So speaking of favorites, tell me about the songs you've picked. What inspired them? What'd you have in mind while creating them?
First one I picked was my absolute personal favorite above them all, Roses for Rosie. That is the one that really, I think, was my first song that I wrote that really took me out of my comfort zone, where I was like, oh, wow. Like, there was a point in time where I was like, this is different. This is really different for me, where it ended up becoming my like signature original. When I was writing it, I was like, all right, I've written what I've written so far. I've written this song. I've written Hometown Girl. I've written this, blah, 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 blah. Let's write something completely different. Let's write about someone that doesn't exist. Let's write about something that I would never do. And let's just see where that goes. And that's what Roses for Rosie became. That's why I bought roses for Rosie, the cloudiest day of the year. Roses for Rosie, the cloudiest market around here. Oh yeah. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Second one I chose was the song Anywhere. And I actually did not write that song. I actually adopted that song. I was doing a show with Joe Rapola, and he pulled this song up. He was like, hey, I might want to play this. Can you learn it? I said, yeah. And I went home and I listened to it, and it was like an unlisted SoundCloud link. And I'm listening and I was like, this song is amazing. Like, how come I've never heard this? And I said to him the next day, I was like, why have I never heard this? Like, what's the story with this? And he explained to me how, like, him and a couple other people in Nashville wrote it, and it was supposed to come out, but then it never did, and then it almost came out again, and then it never did. This whole saga that basically this amazing song was just sitting on a shelf somewhere in Nashville, untouched. And I remember I was, like, starting to get into, like, the country, like, side of the music I was starting to write, and I, out of the blue, hit him up one day. This is, like, a few months after. I was like, hey, listen, how would you feel if I like recorded Anywhere and I put it out? And he was like, yeah, you have my blessing. Go for it. I was like, okay. And I changed some words. I changed some chords. I raised the pitch of it, or I changed the key. I made it my own, and I hope I did it justice, but it's become another one that people go, wow, that's a great song. And I have to make sure I take a step back and say, listen, it's a great song. I didn't write it though. Some you haven't even dreamed yet. I'm here to do whatever you wanna do. Lead on, baby, I'll follow you. Anywhere the wind blows, I'll be there to kiss you. Anywhere the stars shine, I'll be wishing with you. Hanging like a shadow, I never fall behind. I'll race you to the sunset, following your footsteps. Yeah. Last one is Better On You. I wrote this one a year and a half ago, and it was my first real foray into like new country, like pop-esque. Like, it was my first time really trying to craft like a radio-ready song where it was short, it was sweet, it had a story to it, it was kind of sappy, and I just tried my best with it, and I think it came out good. It was my first like song where I was like, yeah, this could totally be played on the radio somewhere. If I'm coming on too strong, I promise it's not the blue moon in my eyes. If it's too far, I'll take a step back. But girl, if you let me try the words I won't find, I'll take this ring to look better on you. Cause you'd see me in the morning eventually. So why not? Why do we got to lose? I think this ring will look.
Are there any artists or producers that you hope to collab with in the future?
I don't have any like specific ones on the top of my head, but I will answer it with this. I'm always happy to work with absolutely anybody. So much so that, just to prove my point, if you look hard enough, you can find me as a sample in the hook of some rap songs on SoundCloud somewhere. So that should prove my point, that I will work with anybody. I love working with absolutely anybody, anything, rap, country, whatever. I'll sing, I'll play on anything.
What's your favorite part of performing versus your favorite part of music in general?
I would say my favorite part of performing is you get to this point when you're playing live that I can't tell you the exact moment, and this is going to sound very sappy and cookie cutter, but you get to this moment where you just kind of let go. Like you're kind of stiff through like the beginning for like the first, like, let's just say half hour. And then once you just get to that point where you just don't realize it, you just let go and the music, and I know this is going to sound dumb, the music takes over and you just, everything, all of your instincts just become like nothing. You just let everything kind of happen. You don't really think about what's next. You don't really think about every action. It just happens. And the next thing you know, 3-4 hours are gone. It's like, whoa, what did we just do? And like I said, with creating music, the best thing to me, really, even now, like as I was writing at 4 o'clock in the morning the other night, or morning, I guess, was just saying like, you know, I can't wait to see what this turns into. Because most times what you start with is not at all what you end with. Basically, all of the songs I've ever written that are on Spotify or wherever never sounded the way they do at the beginning. Never. Like, that to me is the best part, is watching them become something completely different.
Wait, now I'm curious. Give me an example.
If you listen to the song, let's just say Lindsay, right? That one started as like a very Beatly, like 60s kind of, like had like a gospel choir in it. And I was like, wow, this is cool and fun. And then like at the end of it, I was like, Nah, this is too much. This is too much. This is way too much. And then I just kind of scaled it down. Now it's just like a singer-songwriter piano song. And it's like super, like the feeling of the song is completely different to how it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like a fun, like everybody involved. Now it's like a super like slow and not somber, but just like sensitive ballad.
Who are you listening to at the moment? Like any specific like new albums, new artists, radio stations? Give me all of it.
I've been very into Luke Combs at the moment, just because, you know, my parents love country. They said like, you got to listen to more of his stuff. And I didn't realize he's got some really good stuff. Like I said, and I will stand by this, I love Theo Kassman. You got to hear some of his stuff. Such good songs. Very aware of what's going on in today's world. And I love Ben Rector. I'm looking around like in my basement, I have frames and everything. Oh, I really love this guy, Julian Villard. He's this piano guy from the city. He's from Queens. He's like a new age kind of Billy Joel. He's about to at some point put out a musical called Please Don't Make Me Play Piano Man. And it's about being like a piano man in the city and how it's like so much more than what you realize it is. It's amazing. It's fantastic. I would say that. And again, like I said, got to give everything to Hayley Williams. I love her very much. Love Kacey Musgraves. Those are the two like women right now that I just like in music adore, and everything they put out is just amazing.
And do you have any advice for other up and coming artists?
Yes. And I will end with a quote from someone we both know and I think love. One thing I learned that is actually to this day a big help for me when I'm writing music. Our professor, George Wurzbach, said in one of our classes, I took songwriting with him. He said, I think at the very beginning, he was like, you know, if you're worried about what you're trying to say, like being out there already, like having already been said, don't be, because the world hasn't heard your take on it yet. So if you're discouraged about like saying something that's already been said, just throw all that out the window. You don't know what people want to hear because they haven't heard what you've had to say. So that to me is probably the best thing I've ever heard George say, and it's stuck with me to this day. So I would say, be yourself. And I know that's super cliche, but be yourself, because only you can be that. And, you know, don't be afraid to say what's on your mind. And even if it's already been said, say it again. Say it how you want to say it. I hope that's not too overly inspirational.
All right. And where can we find you on social media, your music, and do you have any projects coming up?
You can find me pretty much everywhere with @TheDanAmato, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm pretty sure that's everything. And yes, I am writing at the moment. I've been up almost every night until like 5 a.m. and I've been waking up super late. So that's actually a very good thing. And that's actually very exciting, because it means I'm actually getting some stuff done. So yes, that is in the works.
Thanks for listening. Tune in 24/7 at WJMSradio.com.